Cindy's with us now, so first of all, welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Alan. Good afternoon.
Now, we need to talk to you. When you were here last time, you were getting ready, I think, that week or the next week to do the Kokoda Trail. Now, I've read where you did it. So, first of all, how did you go? And was it tougher than what you thought it was going to be?
I went fine, and it was tough.
And but it was tougher than what you thought?
Probably not.
Right.
But it's really hard to know what it's going to be like because, you know, we were talking when we were on the trail. Most of the time we walked in silence because it was...
too hard?
It was too hard to talk and walk at the same time. About how it's difficult to train for something like that because, you know, for the first probably 5 days, you could think of nothing but the forest floor and where you're putting your feet. You know, you didn't have time to lose yourself in, isn't this beautiful and look at this and look at that. Because the minute you took your mind off it, you'd slip.
So the surface, is it wet where you say it'd slip or was it just loose?
Varied. So in some spots it was damp and muddy, quite muddy, you know, ankle deep mud that you'd try to, you know, tiptoe around it sort of thing. Sometimes it, in one area, most furthest north, was actually quite dry. So it was dry and dusty. So this, and you're on really narrow paths. And so it would be really easy for just with, you put your foot down and for it to slip. There were tree roots everywhere through the jungle. So when you're walking through the jungle, it's a maze of gnarled tree roots that it, you know, they're slippery as well. They've got moss on them.
If you don't look, you trip over them.
And you'd think, wow, I've got 5 metres of flat.
You're happy with that.
And then you could stand upright. You didn't feel like you were looking at the forest floor all the time. But then if you took your mind off it, you'd slip. And, you know, it was really steep and it was really slippery.
How many were in the party with the whole group that you were with?
We had a very big group. We probably had 50 and it was split into two groups. So we had about 25.
What were the oldest person to be?
Probably 72.
Gee, sorry, how young would the youngest have been?
16.
Gee, well, that was, as part of a school?
No, not as part of a school. As part of another scheme that I'll talk about in a minute. But, yes, it's organised actually through... It started a number of years ago, and one of my colleagues, who he was the oldest one there, he's retired, but he had a group of 3 kids and went on the trek, and he's, 2 of his daughters have done it, 2 of his sons, I think, have done it. One of his sons and his grandson was with him this time.
Hello.
Yeah, he'd had prostate cancer. I think his oncologist and urologist were both there.
Well, he was right if he went wrong.
Yeah, and his mate, the heart surgeon, was with us as well.
So how far did you trek each day, Cindy?
You know, it's around 20 kilometres. It was 138 kilometres.
That's a pretty rare...
And then when, you know, that's only on the trek, then when you get to camp and, you know, you've got to walk down to the river and sometimes, you know, that's where you showered. It was a decent hike and you'd just be... and the weather varied. You know, the first few nights were really hot. And then as we got higher and higher into the mountains, we had a few nights where it was absolutely freezing and everybody had every layer of clothing, every item of clothing.
So...
Like, you know, 2 pairs of socks, 2 pairs of pants, and I reckon I had 5 layers... on the top, as well as a sleeping bag and sleeping bag liner.
And, of course, you've got to carry all your equipment with you too, don't you?
Sort of.
What do you mean, sort of?
You can also pay a porter.
Oh, can you?
So this is what's really interesting. So we all had porters because it's very difficult to carry it on your own. Everyone would have carried, you know, 5 or 6 litres. Kilos.
Yep.
Sorry. Which would have been 3 litres of water. You all would have had 3 litres of water every day.
True.
And so your porters carried the sleeping gear, your spare clothes, your tents, all that sort of stuff.
Right. So was it humid weather?
Well, your clothes didn't get an opportunity to dry.
Well, that's what I mean. Cindy, we'll take a quick break because I know you want to talk about the Kokoda Trail, about the young people. So let's take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Welcome back to Community Connections. We talked to Cindy McLeish. And Cindy, we haven't got onto the local stuff yet, but we will. But as you'll know, Cindy just did the Kokoda Trail a few weeks ago, so we're hearing a bit about it. Cindy, you said there were some school children on it. So how did they fund that trip?
Well, they're on scholarship. So a number of MPs from areas with some of the larger towns or cities, regional Wangaratta's, Swan Hills type of, have got together with RSLs or sometimes families of people who may have lost their lives or be buried on the Kokoda Trail and funded scholarships for these kids to go.
So it's not funded through the school, it's funded through the local MP?
The MPs may make some contribution, but the MPs will have sorted it out with the local RSLs. And we haven't done it here because, these areas are small, but I don't know whether, and something I'll talk to the Upper Yarra RSL and maybe Healesville RSL about, of whether that's something that, they could work together to do. But many years ago, probably, 16 years ago when my colleague first started trying to initiate this, he got three students, and this time there are about 24 students.
Because two of them went from the Siri School at Yarra Junction last year.
Last year,
two of them went. Sorry,
that might not have been on our program. It might the one that we did, but they can go through various.
Oh, can they? It's not just the one organisation that.
No, it's not just the one organisation. Yep. This was just the one that we did. But I'll tell you what, there's a real message, Alan. If you're 16, you can do Kokoda a lot easier
than a 35-year-old.
Than a 35-year-old, they have no aches and pains, and they did it easily.
Yep.
And they learnt so much. Like, for the kids to go, I was just so impressed watching them grow over the 10 days, from when they start.
Cindy, for people like that, is there someone that explains to them the actual reason behind the Kokoda Trail and why you're doing
so
it?
So part of the scholarship program that, and it's only the Coalition MPs that have had this organised, is that beforehand, like they have the interviews and they've got to do some bit of history research about why they want to go.
Right.
And then there's a session or so beforehand where they get a talk about Kokoda and what it means. We get a briefing at various points. So when you're at significant spots on the trail, you know, we stop and have a briefing and talk about what happened, and then at the end you go to Port Moresby to the cemetery and have a look at some of the graves and understand the hardships, you know, and for the kids, and it was drummed into them, you know, these were 16-year-olds, that a lot of the blokes who went on to New Guinea were 18, 20.
The
boys would go, oh, my gosh, they're almost at my age. Mm. And they had to do this. And we had enough food, you know. And these kids, you know, I was saying to them, imagine you're fit and healthy like you are.
Yeah.
And you're carrying your own gear. You don't have the porter to carry it. You're carrying that, you know, you're getting hungrier and hungrier because supplies are getting shorter. And, you know, you'd have some freezing nights, you'd have some boiling, you're hiding out in the jungle, you're on high alert all the time for any unusual noise.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were living on that track for 3-4 months.
And not well fed.
And not well fed. The food drops were pretty random. And the generals, who failed them greatly, would say, oh, but we've dropped so many, you know, tons of food. And they're like, well, we've only got a quarter of it because, you know, the Japanese probably got some of it. Maybe the locals got some of it because they had places where they could have done it and they didn't do it well.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had to get to the places that they were defending. You know, that was sometimes for us the 6-day hikes that they had to get to certain points to build the resistance line. And for the kids to realise, you know, like once you got here, it was a long slog getting there.
Yep.
Then you had to dig in and kind of be living in the conditions. And, you know, hearing the stories about the guys, you know, with dysentery, and because that was just constant, that they put holes in the back of their trousers. So they didn't have to lift them up and down every time they needed to go to the, you know. So, you know, pretty horrid stuff. But the kids learnt a lot, and it was just so great to have them there with their enthusiasm and their energy.
Cindy, you were talking about the only way you could really probably get a shower is to walk into the river. So were the rivers clear water like we'd expected here, or
mostly
were they murky? Or
no, they're mostly clear, but there were rivers where we were told, no, don't drink from there. Now, even though, you know, you look at mountain streams here, and I'm the first to fill up at the well in Marysville, up at the middle of the mountains, we always had to put water purifiers, drops or tablets in.
Yeah.
And even then, the guides, the porters would say, don't drink from this river. And you look at it, and it looked pretty clear to me, but for whatever reason,
could be contaminated.
Yeah, so they wouldn't. So they looked crystal clear. You know, we're in mountain streams. We were hiking, you know, high into the mountains, and you'd be on one peak. At lunchtime, I remember looking at the mountain peak across from us, and someone said, that's where we had morning tea. And you're like, oh, my God, we've hiked down that mountain, back up the next one. All before, like, you know, for lunch sort of thing. So it was hard, but and you couldn't concentrate on anything when we were in the hardest. We did the hardest lot first, so the first 5 days were really, really enduring and really hard.
Would you do it again?
Yep.
You would?
Yep.
Just for the experience?
Yeah, I don't know why. You know, like, when I was doing it, John Pursuto, the leader of the opposition, you know, he was with me, and we're like, are we having fun? You know, because you couldn't relax because you had to concentrate, and you could not think about any work or what I was going to do or what, because you just had to concentrate. You concentrated the whole time. And also the beauty was you didn't have mobile phone reception.
I've got to take a quick break, Cindy, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the schools that you've been to.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston. Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea waves crashing while I watch the cannons flashing. I clean my gun and dream of Galveston. I still see her standing by the water, standing there looking out to sea. And is she waiting there for me on the beach where we used to run? Galveston, oh Galveston, I am so afraid of dying before I dry the tears she's crying, before I watch your seabirds flying in the sun. At Galveston, at Galveston.
I have Cindy McLeish with us, and we've been talking all about her on the Kokoda Trail experience. I'm not sure she's talked me into doing it. Anyway, I don't think that's going to be my scene. But, Cindy, you've been doing a bit with the schools as well.
Yes, and I should have started to talk the school kids into doing it. And, in fact, it's probably something that I should think about talking to the school groups about Kokoda,
yeah,
and the walk and, you know.
You may be able to get a scholarship going.
Yeah, that's something that I'd certainly like to look at.
And then you could do it with them.
One of the kids said, a few people were from Swan Hill Way, and Peter Walsh, the leader of the Nationals, had organised their scholarships, and someone said, well, where is he? They said, he did it last year. And they're like, oh, okay.
It's like,
he's not
coming.
Yeah, he's not going to be doing it every year. But as an MP, you do lots of engagement with schools,
yep,
and on a whole variety of areas. And today, and it was why I was a little bit late getting here, I was at St. Bridget's in Healesville, the Catholic primary school, talking to the grade fives and into the grade sixes about what it is that I do. But probably, you know, it's important that kids understand the basics of governance,
yep,
and the differences between each level. And, you know, I certainly frame it around, you know, with the rubbish bin in your street, who do you think looks after that, you know? Yeah. Is it the Prime Minister or is it the local council? And the kids were really quite switched in on today, knowing, you know, they'd done a fair bit of work with the teachers on, it's a unit, I think it's governance or civics and citizenship. Right. And they, you know, they get a bit of an understanding about, well, what is local government, what is state government and what is federal government. And I guess one of the things that, you know, you hear so often is that, when do I go to Canberra? And it's like, no, I'm state. I go to Spring Street. they don't usually know about Spring Street. They know about Melbourne, but they don't know, you know, we call it Spring Street.
Right. Yep.
But they all know about Canberra. And typically, well, there's always kids who do know who the Prime Minister is and who the previous Prime Minister is and who the Premier is. People are fairly, the kids, there's always a good handful of kids in the schools that know that.
Yep.
You know, they know mostly that they're in the Yarra Rangers Council here.
Right.
you know, and they'll tell me what their parents complain about, whether it's they don't need the FOGO bins. You know, talking about the rubbish bins. I said, you know, maybe your parents have got an opinion about the FOGO bins and all the kids yell at. My parents think, you know, this or that. So, you know, you... and also, you know, we've got local council elections, but you talk to them about the different responsibilities, and by the time you eke out that, you know, what's the Victorian government responsible for, you know, and the kids are like, oh, state education and the trains and the buses and emergency services. They're all pretty good on switching to emergency services, and I think maybe that's just a product of where we live.
Yeah, and what's happened. Yep.
Yeah, you know. Oh, the roads. They've all got an opinion on the roads like their parents have.
I think we all have got that.
There was a suggestion by one of the grade five kids that the road between Yarra Glen and Yering could be lifted to the same height as as the rail trail or whatever.
Well,
so that, you know, it doesn't flood all the time. And I think, well, it could be lifted, perhaps not to that, not to that extent.
Yeah. But do you, like they do, I know when I was involved with high school, we used to send some of the, I think it was year 11s up to Canberra. So do you take some of the young people into state parliament in Spring Street?
Yeah, there is a program where they can do that. So you find a lot of the schools, and I don't know the percentages, but a lot of the schools will either do a Canberra trip or a city trip. And so when they're in the city, they might do the museum and Old Melbourne Jail and, you know, a whole bunch of things, and Parliament will be included in that, the aquarium or whatever, depending how many days they're in, because they have an urban camp.
Yep.
So the kids go in there. Now, in Victoria, certainly, there's a mechanism, almost fail-safe, in if your school books in, so if Healesville book in for a tour of Parliament, that they let the member know and ask the member, can you meet?
Oh, yeah.
Can you meet them? So sometimes during Parliament sitting, you know, the kids come in and they can...
They probably wouldn't want to be there during question time.
Keeps them awake. So the kids do come in.
Yep.
When Parliament's not sitting, they actually get to sit in all of our chairs, and they can do a mock, depending what they book in for, you know, they can do a mock session, and some kid will be the speaker sitting in the speaker's chair.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, and that's got a bit more of a feel to it. And, you know, they do something similar apparently at Old Parliament House. They can go in and they can actually do a bit of a mock debate and things like that.
Yep.
So depending what time allocation and, you know, that they've got booked in, they'll do that. So that's good. And I've got Wesburn, I think tomorrow's Thursday, Wesburn Primary School are coming into State Parliament tomorrow morning.
And you'll be there?
I've got a function in town tonight, so I'll go down and I'll stay and I'll talk to them about what it is that I do in Parliament, which is a bit different from explaining the levels of government that I talked about today, you know, like what... if this happens, you're going to bother the Prime Minister about this or that, or are you going to bother me or whatever. It's quite different from what you do when you're in Parliament.
Yep. And I guess a lot of them haven't any exposure to that, do they? Like, until they go in and see what you do, half of them wouldn't even know.
No. And we take it for granted that kids have actually been to the city, but not all the kids have been to the city either. And I remember one of the principals telling me a couple of years ago that they were in a bus and they went past Chirnside Park. And one of the kids said, wow, what's that? And they hadn't actually been as far as Chirnside. So sometimes, you know, they're good at staying bush, doing bush.
I was talking to a guy he met this... I won't bore you to tears with the whole story. But he met this lady, and she and her husband had separated because he was a bit of a deadbeat, and her children had never been to the beach. He took them down the beach and they just couldn't believe what the beach was.
Yeah.
Got to take a quick break and we're back with more. I'm talking to Cindy McLeish, and we've been talking about her trip on the Kokoda Trail and the young people in going into Parliament. But I mentioned about some young person who hadn't never been to the beach, I think about 13 or 15, which prompted Cindy, she'd like to mention about water safety because, you know, on a day like today, you don't think you're ever going to see something, but it's not that far away.
Say like yesterday, we might have thought about it. Yeah, it still staggers me. And, yeah, we have a lot of new Australians who don't see the beach or are scared of water.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter if it's a swimming pool or river. You know, we've got a lot of rivers here, and I think people are mindful of that, and so kids have swum in the pools and they have swum in the rivers because it's our environment. But when you take someone to the beach and they haven't been, understanding the tides and the, you know, the pull of the tide.
Because you don't, the undercurrent you don't get in the rivers.
No, I tell you what, the Kokoda rivers were flowing pretty quick.
Were they?
Surprisingly quick for something that was quite high in the mountains and shallow. It was the amount of water. But, you know, we just can't emphasise enough the need for water safety and for kids to get some experience in and around water and knowing what to do. And I know schools often do, you know, water safety programs, but there's still way too many fatalities.
And some of the young guys who think they're invincible.
Yeah. It seems to be more men than women, I think. I haven't had a good look at the stats. Yeah. But, yes, think that they're invincible and really aren't on their guard enough. Yeah. You know, I grew up learning to swim in a river. And there'd be kids here, you know, that swim at Warby, any of the spots, that you understand the current, you understand the slippery, if you've got rocks underfoot, you kind of know that it's not uniform and consistent like the swimming pool is, but, you know, the beach and, you know, it's important, I think, that we try and get kids to understand that because you don't want them going in as a young adult when they're thinking they're invincible.
And they're not.
And they're not, yeah.
Something else you want to leave us with too, Cindy? We've got a few more minutes.
We have a few more minutes. It's this time of year that all of the football clubs are having their, you know, their President's Day, their Sponsors' Day, whether it's Woori Alec. I was unable to get to Woori. Yarra Glen had something. Alexandra was 140 years, actually.
140?
I was pretty old for the footy club. Yeah, 140 years they've had their celebrations last weekend. It was miserable. And I was at Powelltown because I hadn't been to the new facility at Powelltown. They've got a, you know, fairly whiz-bang facility with the football netball club down there. And I went there on the weekend and Powley were playing yay and it was miserable as miserable. But fans still turn out. But it's not a bad facility that they've got there compared to what they had. You know, I know a lot of the other clubs are really desperate for upgrades and, you know, Yarra Glen again on the weekend, too much water.
Yep. We've had a bit of that. I was anchoring the football a few weeks ago and it was cold. And in fact, at one stage, the caller couldn't work out the bloke's number because he slipped over in the mud. There was so much mud, they couldn't read the number on the guy's jacket, a jumper.
But also, the River Road Trail, which is in Millgrove, that the Millgrove Residents Action Group have been working on for, gosh, a few years, and they've got some funding from the government, and I was unable to go to the opening of that. They had it on the 29th of June. I think I had one of the hospital rallies in...
Oh, yeah.
I had hospital rallies in Mansfield. The next week was Yay and then Alexandra. Yeah. And you had all of these football club events and things happening at the same time, but I can only be in so many places.
Yep, it's fair enough.
So I did get to Powley on the weekend. I thought I might have been able to sneak Warby in, but it was just a little bit too difficult. But
So it's... I mean, and let's face it, sport for the young people, I mean, we're always complaining we want to get them off the couch and outside, isn't it? So we really want them to get involved in the football and particularly the ladies' football now too.
Yeah, the women's football. But, you know, we've also got really strong basketball competitions around. Yep. You know, the Upper Yarra Centre's quite good and there's a lot of teams around here. Some of them go a little bit further south in the Yarra Ranges, but... You know, it's such a great thing because kids can find their place in sport. You know, sometimes if things aren't great at home and they've got a great coach, they've got a great team, they're accepted for who they are, that it can be, You know, the real highlight.
Sometimes that's their only really good role model too, isn't it?
Yeah.
The person that's coaching the team or managing the team.
That's right, yeah.
Which is good.
And if it's their safe place as well, and that's why it's important that we really keep our sports, you know, we're vigilant and keep them safe.
Yep.
Because for kids, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity. Fitness, healthy, you know. And by the time they're 16, they'll be able to walk a coda without a without a care in the world.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
It's great for mental health too, you know.
Absolutely. So, did you have I'll just go back to Kokoda because I've got about half a minute. Did you have anybody have to drop out, like in the group that you're with, because they couldn't make
We did. So our group had to split in two and we went from opposite ends.
Yep.
And one guy who was very experienced slipped over and had to have a shoulder reconstruction and he had to be airlifted out. And one of the guys in our group had pulled a muscle in his quad, which did something really weird, released some enzyme because he kept pushing it and pushing it and played up with his kidneys. And, you know, he'd had 6 litres of water that he'd drunk and nothing was coming out. So, you know, and he got quite unwell and had to be chopped out and ended up in hospital for a couple of
nights. Because they can medevac them out, can't they?
Yeah, and you have to have the insurance that includes that.
Yep.
We can see choppers going out all the time. Like, you know, there's a lot of groups on the trail at the one time.
Yep.
You know, the company I was with, I think, had 7 different groups, like all a day apart, and there were other companies. But every day you'd hear a chopper.
Fair dinkum.
And it's things like hydration. People don't drink enough and get really dehydrated and get sick. People don't look after their feet and they become blistered, losing toenails. Or, you know, you can have an accident.
Cindy, unfortunately, it's time for us to go. Thank you for being with us.
Pleasure.
And we look forward to seeing you next month. We'll
you
be
will.
In August by then.
Oh, wow. The weather will be getting warmer.
Thanks, Cindy.